son, let me tell you, if I didn't have such a message on my heart this morning, I'd just assume sit down. I want to tell you what happened. Yesterday, somebody testified about how God took the responsibility of our salvation and put it on himself.
Yes.
Pastor made mention of that also. And after we dismissed, I went back to the prophet's chamber, Pastor Gravely, and I just couldn't get that off my mind.
Amen.
You know, I'm glad it's not up to me. There's places out here, I'm not going to call them churches, that believe you have to somehow earn your salvation, Brother Chris. You can't do it.
That's right.
Out there where we are, we have folks that are brought up with the idea that their good has to outweigh their bad. That's like getting a speeding ticket and telling the judge that most of the time you don't speed. The judge is going to say, well, I'm not here to judge you for what you did right. I'm here to judge you for what you did wrong.
That's right.
And then there's other places that think you have to work to keep your salvation. We can't do that either. And so I asked the Lord yesterday afternoon, and I said, Lord, would you just show me something from your scripture today about the testimony and some of that was said? And so yesterday I went and studied for a few hours on what I'm about to preach to you. And if it wasn't so heavy on my heart, I promise you, I'd just assume sit down and just hear more of these messages. But isn't it wonderful to serve the Lord?
Amen. That's right.
I think of Brother Brian's testimony and about his mama, and you can just see the impact she made in his life, can't you?
Right.
You know, and I have, the Bible says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth.
Right.
You know, the reason she wanted to buy those stamps for your ministry, Brother Brian, is it was a joy for her, I'm sure.
That's right.
To see you serving God.
That's it, yeah.
Giving God your life. And so she bought stamps with her funeral money because that's her joy.
Yep.
Well, what are you joy in?
That's right.
You know, barns are blessings.
That's right.
And so if you have your Bibles, let's turn this morning to Luke chapter number 15. A familiar text of Scripture, no doubt. And as we look here, of course, Luke 15, we could look, of course, at this parable of the lost sheep. And there's also a lost piece of silver here. And then there's a leaving son. And boy, we could talk about any of these for the next hour if we wanted to. But I want us to read here a few scriptures, and I want to show you for just a few minutes what God showed me yesterday afternoon when it comes to what God is doing for us. Look here, if you will, Luke chapter number 15 and verse number 1. Then drew near unto him the publicans and sinners for to hear him. I want you to know that it wasn't the ritzy class that was here to hear him. It wasn't the wealthy. It wasn't those that were building the big barns and wanting to build bigger barns. It was the publicans and the sinners that were drawing near to Jesus. And it's the Pharisees and the scribes here that are complaining about it. Whoever's complaining about you getting close to the Lord, you better watch out for that crowd.
That's right.
Whoever's complaining about you believing the Bible, that's the ones you better be careful of.
Yes.
And so notice here the crowd that's coming to the Lord for help. You know, I'm amazed that God even cares about the publicans and the sinners like us. Because I've come from that crowd. I was saved as a bus kid, as Brother Gravely was, and maybe some others here were. And listen, I wasn't polished. I wasn't brought up under the teaching of the Bible. And let me tell you, it took a long time in my life to to really learn what it means to be a Christian.
Yeah.
There's things I learned in Bible school that for some people maybe it would have been elementary. But I'm just glad God taught me something.
Yeah, that's right.
And so they draw near here, and in verse number 3 the Bible says, And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost? And I like this. Notice the dedication. Until he find it. I wish we had more dedicated laborers today. Folks that won't give up. Folks that won't let go. Folks that won't take and turn in a different direction. We no doubt, all of us, Brother Chris, have seen people come and go. And I'll be honest with you, I don't ever want to get to a place where it doesn't break my heart when they go. And when he hath found it, notice the Bible says, he layeth it upon his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto him, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner, just one, that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Now notice verse 8 here. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver. Now, if you want Bible for women having all the money, right here it is, all right? If she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, and notice what she does. Sweep the house and seek diligently. Do you see the dedication there? Till she find it. When she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now, these verses show us the value of just one, doesn't it? And I'm so glad that just one soul is important to the Lord.
Yes,
I'm glad that any of these publicans and these sinners here are important to the Lord.
Yes,
but it's not just the value of one soul we see here, and there's no doubt these preachers that are here today have probably many times taught and preached on the value of just one soul. But I want you to notice here not just the value of one soul, but I want you to see the vigor of just one laborer. Just one laborer. And the impact that just one laborer can have in the work of the Lord. Notice here, it's not a search party that went after that one sheep. It's just one shepherd. He went out and by himself, he's looking under every rock and he's looking behind every bush until he finds that one lost sheep. Just one laborer. And then we see here this woman here that lost one piece of silver. And listen, she don't call the ladies group together, Brother Chris, to come over to her house and start sweeping her house with her.
That's right.
You know, I've never seen a ladies group get together and talk about how they swept the living room that day. It's really not a glamorous thing, is it? This is the impact that one laborer had in finding what was lost. And I want us to see here, when it comes to the work, to the laborers, we've heard it said last night, Brother Ellis said it so well, we know the fields are white to harvest, and we also know the laborers are few. And I'm glad this week I'm so grateful. Thank you for allowing me to come to the meeting this week, Brother Gravely, and just be a part of this, because I get to see some laborers out here. And I know we labor in different ways, but I want to remind you by way of introduction that your labor is not in vain. And I want you to know that just the labor of one person can make such an impact that it rings the joy bells of heaven with just one laborer. We see that here. Now notice, sometimes we do feel alone, don't we? I'll be honest with you. I heard my pastor say it years ago. I didn't understand it at the time, but after a while you do. And he said this. He said, Brother Blake, he said, the ministry can be a lonely place. And can I say this? Listen, when you got your family out in the desert of New Mexico, it can be a lonely place. But I'm sure glad that the Lord will never, no, not ever, leave me alone. And notice here, and I want us to see this, something important, that the picture of this is Christ. He's the good shepherd, isn't he? But notice here, when we look at the picture here and we look at the symbol of this, and it's Christ that's searching for the lost sheep. I want you to see what he does. And I've read over this passage probably 1,000 times and never saw this until yesterday. Notice here what takes place. And I'm not minimizing the search. Please don't think that I am. And I'm not minimizing the difficulty of trying to labor for those that are lost. We understand that. But notice the action that was taking place here. In verse number 5, the shepherd, the good shepherd. In verse number 5, and when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders. And when I read that, the Lord took me back to the testimony given right over here, and said, there it is. It's the Lord that shoulders all the responsibility for our salvation. He's the one that shoulders all the responsibility for our sanctification. He works and he labors, not just positional sanctification, but he works in our life every day. Practical sanctification. And I got to looking at that, and I got to noticing the shoulders of this shepherd. And can I say this? Even when it comes to sweeping, ladies, you can tell your husbands how this is true, but doesn't it involve shoulder work when you're sweeping the house? Some of you guys, you better not underestimate your wife. Her shoulders may be stronger than you think they are, and she can knock you into next week. Notice this. When it comes to the work of the ministry, church, somebody's got to shoulder the work. Somebody's got to shoulder the responsibility. And we are living in a day today where there's a lot of people that don't want to shoulder the responsibility. There's a lot of people today that don't want to shoulder the work. And listen, Bible Baptist Church, and you know this, I'm not telling you it's something you don't already know, but when it comes to shouldering the work of the ministry, shouldering the work of missions around the world, as we're seeing the decline of Christianity in America and we're seeing good churches fall by the wayside, it's going to be the responsibility of good New Testament Baptist churches just like this that God's going to depend on to shoulder more of the work. to support missions. And listen, it's not a coincidence that your pastor has asked you to be willing to shoulder a little bit more of the responsibility of Faith Promise Missions this year. And you know why? Because the need is so great. My heart breaks to see what's happening here in America. My heart breaks to know that there are people out west that are going to a church that's less than doctrinal because that's all they have available. Where are the church planters? Where are the laborers? Because listen, if we don't have more laborers, then the joy bells of heaven are not going to ring as if they could ring. And we need more laborers. And listen, but we've got to understand this, that there's going to have to be those that are willing to shoulder the work and bear the responsibility that God wants us to. And we're going to have to take the burden upon ourselves and say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Of course, Jesus said it. Jesus always says it best. The harvest truly is plenteous. But the laborers, what's the laborers? Why is that so important? I'll tell you, it doesn't say that the church attenders are few. It doesn't say that the disobedient Christians are few. We got plenty of those. It doesn't say that the distracted Christians are few. We've got plenty of those as well. But who we've got very few of is the laborers.
Amen.
Those willing to take the work upon their own shoulders and bear the responsibility of a Sunday school class.
Yes.
Bear the responsibility of a bus ministry. Bear the responsibility of pastoring a church, whether there's 3 or 300, it doesn't matter, but willing to bear the responsibility of that on your shoulders. Because the good shepherd, and I don't want us to miss this, the good shepherd, our Lord and our Savior, was willing to put the cross on his shoulders. Not just the cross on his shoulders. He allowed that cat of nine tails on his back. Rip the flesh from his back. And so next time you think that maybe it's too hard to give your shoulder work to the Lord, let's remember what he gave for us. He gave his shoulder to carry the cross. He gave his back to the smiter, and he gave his beard to the pluckers, and he gave his brow to the crown of thorns. And then thanks be unto God, he gave his blood to every sinner so that they could be saved and redeemed by the blood of the precious Lord Jesus Christ. It's not that he just gave his shoulders. He gave it all. He gave his life. And we have no shortage of just pew sitters. We need some laborers because the devil is out to stop the laborers. Because just one can make a big difference for all eternity. And so in light of what Jesus has given us, surely we'll be willing as God's people to bear the responsibility and to take the shoulder work of the burden of missions and the burden of doing the work of the ministry upon ourselves. And most gladly will we spend and be spent for Jesus for what he's done for us. But unfortunately, Pastor Gravely, some won't give their shoulders to the work. They'll give a cold shoulder to the things of God. Some aren't interested. I was shocked at the testimony last night of that pastor that said, don't bring them my way. I'll be honest with you, out there where we are, we have to take drug addicts and drunks and folks that, women that come in and got four different kids with four different daddies and all kinds. But here's my heart, bring them. Come to the house of the Lord. The doors are open. Come and see how good God is and how much He loves you and how much He cares. I like it when God can take a drug addict or a drug dealer, and before you know it, God saves them. And then the next thing you know, they're an usher in the church. Only God can do that. And then when it comes to shouldering the work, can I say this? Sometimes we need to remind ourselves that we need to work shoulder to shoulder.
That's right, yeah. Yes.
Two are better than one, Ecclesiastes says, because they have a good reward for their labor. And that's why I believe I like it when a husband and a wife can work together.
Yes.
I like it when Brother Crisp and his wife can come up here and sing together. And
yeah.
I didn't know he could play the guitar. I'm telling you, it makes me sick. Some of these preachers can preach and sing and play instruments, and I can't hardly even preach. But thanks be unto God for it.
Yeah.
You know what they're doing? They're shouldering the work. And they're working shoulder to shoulder. And no wonder Satan tries to divide us so much, because he knows that if we'll work together, we can accomplish more together than the sum of our individual efforts.
Right.
And so we can accomplish much shoulder to shoulder. Then let me say this, I want to get some help here to do this, but Brother Wells, would you get that broom back there, please? Bring that over. And you may have seen this before. Listen, for you husbands out there, this is a broom, all right? And a missionary is just a broom. That's all we are. And Bible Baptist Church is using the broom, the missionary, to search and to find those lost souls. And it's sad today that we've got preachers and we got people that are more concerned about what the broom looks like than the sweeping and the finding of a valuable lost soul, because we want the broom to look good. Do we realize how silly that really is? I mean, notice on the poster how beautiful that broom is. What's a preacher do? Well, a preacher, what he does is he gets up here and he preaches what God's laid on his heart. And he, of course, edifies believers and preaches to the lost. But he's just a broom. The evangelist is just a broom. But you know, that woman, when she's sweeping, she has to put some shoulder work into that sweeping process. And it's not easy work. And ladies, maybe you can get your husband to try it one of these days. But can I say this? There's no room in the ministry for having a chip on your shoulder. We got preachers today that get offended real easy. People in churches that get offended real easy. I remember a few years ago, Pastor Gravely, I preached at a church, and it was one of the hardest times I've ever preached. And it just seemed so thick as mud in that church building. After the service, I went to the pastor and I apologized for him. I said, I don't know why it was just difficult to preach, Pastor. I'm sorry. He said, oh, Brother Sykes, it ain't you. He said, this side of the church ain't talking to this side of the church right now. You know, that hinders the labor. It hinders finding that silver, that precious soul. Some lost person come into that church. Listen, if I can sense that thickness, if I can sense that strife, what about when a lost person comes in? They're going to come there. If they stay through the whole service, you probably never see them again. Listen, that's why we need some brooms that ain't trying to glamorize the broom. Folks that don't have a chip on their shoulder. And listen, when it comes to serving the Lord, we've got to realize you can't serve God in humility with a chip on your shoulder. Preacher, what do you mean by a chip on the shoulder? Well, that phrase actually came from the early 1900s when somebody would get offended, somebody hold a grudge, somebody be angry and upset at somebody else, and they would take a block of wood, Pastor Gravely, and put it on their shoulder and dare somebody to knock it off.
Yeah.
Got a chip on their shoulder. But I want to show you, when it comes to serving the Lord in humility, you can't have a chip on your shoulder and serve God as a laborer too. And so if there's anybody here that you're upset with somebody, somebody hurt you, somebody says, and it's going to happen. You have got to learn to let it go. Listen, I've had people say things about me. It's interesting. I've had some folks say that I preach too hard, and I've had other people say I don't preach hard enough. You can't please everybody. When it comes to our Be Salt ministry, I remember the first time this had ever happened to me, preacher. I went on Google. Now, that's a mistake sometimes. And I searched on Be Salt. I wanted to see what would come up. And I found a forum where there was folks in this little group thing talking about Be Salt. I thought, well, let's see what this is about. And this was a few months after they had the talk, and I went in there, and there's like six or eight people talking about Be Salt. I didn't even know about this conversation. And one person in there said, well, Be Salt must think that the only people going to heaven is independent, fundamental, King James only Baptist. I read that, and I thought, I didn't ever say that. Why are they talking about me like that? And another one said something, another one. Let me tell you, I reared back my... And the Lord said in my heart at that moment, can you fight your battles better than I can fight your battles? I put my hands down, I let it go. Listen, it's not always easy to let it go, but it's right to let it go.
Yeah, that's right.
Because what will happen is you'll get a chip on your shoulder.
Yes,
and you can't be reaching down to pick up some lost lamb, some lost sheep, trying to help some Christian that's made some mistakes if you got a chip on your shoulder.
That's right.
I want to demonstrate this. I need a strong young man. No volunteers? All right, right here in the corner. All right, if you'll come, I want to ask you to help me with something. And then if you'll come, would you please? All right. Now here's the chip. I got these this morning. They're called Chips Ahoy chocolate chip, all right? But I'm going to put that on his shoulder. If that'll stay.
Slope shoulders.
All right. There we go. All right, and I want you to sit down right here. And then I need a young lady. Would you come and help me for just a moment? I want to get you, if you'll hold your arm out, I'm going to put that on your shoulder, and if you'll hold that broom. Now, I want you to try to sweep and find some lost coins in the nooks and crannies. right under there. And I want you to sit right here. He's our lost sheep. I want you to pick him up with a chip on your shoulder. And I want you to sweep with a chip on your shoulder. All right, give it a shot. Let's see. Let's try that. Go ahead. Up, try it again. Up, try it again. It's a little hard to reach the lost when you got a chip on your shoulder. So here's your option. Thank you very much. You can keep the chip, all right? The chocolate chip. Thank you so much. So you've got an option. You can either be a laborer and get rid of the chip on your shoulder. Or you can keep the chip on your shoulder and let everybody know you got one. But you will never serve God the way you want to. You'll always come short in what God can do in your life when you're angry and upset, mad, holding a grudge. It doesn't help you to try to labor for God and you can't let it go. It's hard. It's difficult. And so listen, somebody's got to shoulder the work. And God has blessed us so much. We ought to freely be willing, Lord, I'll shoulder a little bit more work. Lord, I'll take a little more responsibility. I believe God's putting it on my heart, Brother Gravely, to start a men's home out there where we are. I found myself researching it and looking, and there is not a single, any independent, fundamental men's homes in the whole state of New Mexico. Lord, I'll take that burden. I'll take that burden. Lord, I'll do it because you've done so much for me. Lord, I'll shoulder the work. And listen, there's things you won't learn in Bible college. There's things you won't learn until you just get out there and start trying to do it. Listen, I come from an office. I was a CPA, I was an accountant. But I'll tell you what, I've had to learn to be a contractor, a remodeler, a plumber, electrician. Things I didn't know how to do. And it's nice when you got somebody that you can go to help you with that. But what about when you don't have anybody that does that? Sometimes you just got to try it and pray and ask God to show you what to do. I can't tell you the number of times I've made plumbing repairs with somebody on the phone and the video on my phone trying to show them what's going on. Now what do I do? What do I do next? We need some folks willing to shoulder the work. Some people need to, of course, get the chip off their shoulder. Can I give you another one? 2 weeks ago, the church we planted about 2 years ago up in Baird, I'm trying to pastor two works right now. The church up in Baird, which is about an hour away from where I'm at, I got that phone call about midnight. Now, we preachers, we know what that means, don't we? You get that late night phone call, and one of the ladies on the other end said, "Pastor, something's happened to Robert. He's on his way to the hospital." I said, "I'm on my way. I'll be there just as soon as I can." Well, it's at minimum a 45-minute drive on grace, not the law. So I take off. I'm praying as I go. And Robert, you got to understand, Robert came from a life of addiction, alcoholism. But back in May of this year, I got to lead Robert to the Lord. Took about an hour to talk to him and answer his questions and to explain to him why some bad things had happened in his life. And I told him, I said, listen, God doesn't want these bad, sinful things to happen in your life. But what he has done for you, Robert, is that he sent his only begotten son to die on the cross for your sins.
Amen.
A little bit later, I got to lead Robert to the Lord. Had the privilege. He got baptized and gave him his Bible. You'd be amazed how many folks we get to give their first Bible to. And he was coming faithfully and learning and growing. But this phone call was about Robert. I get up there. I go into the emergency room where he's laying on the bed there. And he had passed into eternity. A freak accident hit an artery in his shoulder, and he bled out before he made it. I came into that emergency room, and listen, this is a scene nobody ever wants to see, but that mama, her name's Patty. Patty was laying over her son's body crying profusely. Now, I'll be honest with you, I wasn't there at that moment to remind her to be at church on Sunday. I wasn't there at that moment to make sure she's reading her Bible. At that moment, she needed a shoulder to cry on. I went over to her and she turned around and she just grabbed me and she started weeping right here on this shoulder. Patty, I'm so sorry. 31-year-old son laying there right in front of us in eternity. Sometimes it's our responsibility, church, to just give our shoulder for somebody to cry on. Put our shoulders down on the floor and pray for them. I don't know about you, but I want to commit my shoulders to the Lord. To shoulder whatever responsibility or burden He may put on me, I want to gladly do it. Lord, if there's somebody out there hurting and they need a shoulder to cry on, Lord, I volunteer. And I'm not saying these things are easy, but I just want to make myself available. And then let me say, don't forget also that when it comes to working in the work of the ministry, we need to work shoulder to shoulder. This morning, you may be here and you're praying and asking God to do something in your life. Listen, can you get your eyes off the broom? This ain't about you. If this was about me, then I sure have messed up being out in the deserts of Deming, New Mexico. We get sandstorms out there that will absolutely fill your ears with sand in March and April. It's not always a pleasant place to be. New Mexico is ranked the second or third poorest state in the country right now. And our town, I'm actually pretty honored about this. We have won 3 years in a row. We have been voted the worst city in the whole state of New Mexico 3 years in a row. Why? Because of the poverty, because of the drug abuse, because of crime. Your chances of being a victim of crime in our town is 1 in 17. You better be looking over your shoulder. Well, preacher, why are you there? Because I'm just a broom. I'm in a dry, barren place trying to find some valuable souls.
Amen.
I'm thankful for Poncho. I mentioned him the other day. Poncho coming to church, learning, growing. His daughter's coming and growing and learning so much. And right now, his little boy, 7 years old, Frankie, he's coming to church, and I just can't help believe one of these days we're going to ring the joy bells of heaven for little Frankie, too. Just recently, Sandra got saved. Sandra had been coming to our church, and she called up my wife, and she said, "Is there anything I can do to help out the church?" And she said, "Well, actually, there is. It was on a Saturday." She said, "The folks that we had that were going to clean wasn't able to come. Could you help come and help me clean the church today?" She said, "Sure." So she came up there and got to asking my wife some questions about salvation. Next thing you know, she's sitting down, giving her the gospel, and Sandra trusted the Lord for salvation. How'd that happen? Because she just wanted to help. Just shoulder to shoulder. But you know, we've got to be willing, church, that when it comes to service, that it's not about glamorizing the broom.
Amen.
It's not about being seen. It's not about who you are. It's about what God can do through you.
Amen.
And so I hope that this morning you'll take and say, "Lord, I just want to be a laborer." Because I'll be honest with you, there is some amazing things that God has done for us out in the desert of New Mexico. I could tell you about gumballs. Ask me after the service. I could tell you miraculous stories of what God has done in the lives of people out there. Divine protection, divine provision. But I'd never have those true stories to tell if I wasn't willing, church, to put it on my shoulders.
That's right.
I wonder if maybe this morning you'd join me on the altar. Let's all stand.
Yes.
Let's put our shoulders on the altar and say, "Lord, here's my shoulders. Lord, I'm going to put my hands on the altar. Here's my hands. Lord, would you use my hands?" And Lord, here's my feet. Lord, would you use my feet to carry the gospel? Would you do that? And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, not hardness, but in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the knowledge of the truth. Can I say this? You'll attract more flies with honey than you will with vinegar. There's no room for meanness in being a laborer. Brother Sam sings, listen, the altar's open. Why don't you come? Several have made their way this morning. Why don't you let God speak to your heart?